This is from the February 24th, 2019 service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon, Jazz Sunday. And there is another button with a tract, Flight of the Stellar Jay, an original composition by Steve Morgan, for your listening pleasure. Thank you.
The scripture reading today is 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20. It's in the New Testament, page 176 in your pew Bible, if you wish to follow along. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, and first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
In Luke chapter 6, Jesus doesn't pull any punches. Doesn't usually anyway, but here you go. From Jesus' sermon. I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anybody strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one. If anybody takes away your coat, don't withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if he takes away your goods, don't ask them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And if you love those who love you, well, so what? Even sinners love those who love them. But if you do good to those who do good to you, well, what credit is that? Sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, well, big deal, they're going to give it back. Sinners lend to sinners, they receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend expecting nothing back. And your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, all will be put into your lap, for the measure you give is the measure you get. This is the word of the Lord. So in an old magazine cartoon, there's a man walking down a street. And it's one of those black and white, one frame only New Yorker cartoons, half of which I don't understand. And a lot of them aren't that funny, because it's the New Yorker. I look, and the man's face tells you he is kind of sad or depressed. He's having one of those days, or, well, honestly, one of those weeks. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So he's not happy, and his head is hanging down. And he really can only see his feet, and he's not looking, and except at his feet as he walks. And the thought bubble over his head says, well, the other foot ought to be coming along any minute now. And the caption over the cartoon is, an era of reduced expectations. So what are our expectations of ourselves, of the people around us, of the world we live in? And do we ever feel like we're living in an era of reduced expectations? And what would it take for us to live in an era of heightened expectations instead? And so to explore that question, ask yourself, what do you expect? What do you expect? Well, in simple situations, what do you expect of people ahead of you in the supermarket line? Do you expect them to let you in front of them? Anybody expect people to clean your driveway of snow for you? Or rake your leaves when you're not looking? Do you expect people to wash your dishes and pay your bills and send you a thinking of you card for no reason? Of course not. Nobody expects any of this. If we do, we will be what? Disappointed. Of course. Things like raking your neighbor's leaves, those are second mile things. Now, as in the old expression, going the second mile, which by the way comes from the Bible, right? Not too far from where Jesus was talking about this morning. The Roman soldiers could demand that Jews carry their pack in Bible times. And the law said they could demand it be carried 1 mile. That was the law. So if a Roman soldier comes up to you, they can force you to carry their pack for a mile. And Jesus describes the life of discipleship by saying, if anybody forces you to go 1 mile for him, go 2. Go the second mile. So Jesus either expects this of his followers or at least challenges them to it, to go the second mile. And But is that what we expect? Is my first question. Is it reasonable to expect it? The world being what it is, and us being what we are, honestly, right? Well, maybe. Maybe when we're stranded in a snowstorm together, which I was last week, not this morning, but last week on a freeway, 2 weeks ago, whenever that snow came, on the freeway on-ramp, it was snowy in Portland and snowy in Columbia City, but there was nothing here. You remember that week? Well, anyway, I got caught on an on-ramp, an icy on-ramp, behind a car that was spinning their wheels because, of course, they had rear-wheel drive. And the thing is, it surprised me. We were all there, stranded on an icy ramp, and people got out to help push the car, and we helped this stranger move their car. And it surprised me a little, or it felt different than usual or something. I even posted about it on my Facebook page, because we don't expect it. Now, if it had been an ordinary day, and we had not been trapped, would anyone have stopped to help a stranded motorist? Be honest. That's my point. Normally, you don't expect these things. What we expect is something else, right? Right? We expect, well, what do you expect, honestly? Maybe some common courtesy? Maybe a nod of the head? At least we expect that people won't butt in front of you in the supermarket line, right? That's reasonable. We expect that at least people won't blow their leaves onto your yard or throw their snow onto your driveway from theirs. Is that really too much to ask, honestly? I mean, what kind of a world do we live in? You know what I'm talking about, right? Anybody ever throw their snow in your front yard? What do we really expect, though, from life? From ourselves, honestly, and from others? That's the question. I was driving my car recently and I changed lanes abruptly. Of course, you see where this is going, right? We all know where it's going. We know where it's going. I was looking for the off-ramp. I was in an unfamiliar part of town. I wasn't being a good driver, whatever. It must have been obvious. I think it was obvious that I was lost. At least I think it was. Anyway, another driver sped up, drove up right next to me, changed their original course just to get beside my window, took time out of his busy day to yell at me through the closed window. I was a little upset at first. And then I thought, what do I expect? Right? What you expect. The most recent government shutdown showdown raises similar questions about our government, right? What do we expect? Tom Brady and Bill Belichick win another Super Bowl? What do you expect? Right? Of course. In the Bible, Paul, in the scripture reading for this morning that Marilyn so fabulously read, was writing to the people in Corinth, some people who had some very low expectations. For their faith, specifically, they were denying the resurrection. They were kind of like Jack Nicholson, maybe, looking around the waiting room in that old movie. He's in a psychiatrist's office at all the depressed people, and he blurts out, "Hey, what if this is as good as it gets?" Exactly. That's Paul in this moment. What? He's addressing people who are basically saying, hey, what if this is as good as it gets? Paul writes, if you don't believe this one central thing, and you have no reason at all even to expect that it's possible, the resurrection, then what is the point of any of it, of your preaching, of all your church actions? It's in vain. I mean, do you really want a faith devoid of all expectations, really, honestly, because you're intellectually unable to grasp it or whatever? I mean, like the information superhighway with no information on it? That's Paul's question. That's what he is saying. There are all kinds of beliefs going around in Corinth in Paul's day, and Paul is directing Jesus' followers back to the center of what they believe and urging them to believe it, to go the second mile, to actually believe their faith, which shouldn't be second mile stuff, but sometimes the world being what it is, I mean, he's sort of saying, look, if you don't buy the resurrection, why do you go to all the potluck dinners? Really? For Paul, the resurrection of Christ means that we are raised with him. It's not mystic mumbo jumbo. It means you and I are raised. It means that the serious losses in our life do not end it. The loss of a dream or despair, that they don't win. That's what it means. Paul is urging the followers of Jesus to expect more of their faith. I have to say, the more I think of those people on the on-ramp a few weeks ago going the second mile to help, it has made me think. What would it be like to live that way all the time, on the ordinary days when it's not snowing? And what would fuel that in you and in me? What would fuel going the second mile so we don't burn out and feel like, oh my gosh, we have to try so hard? I mean, Paul's answer is faith. That real faith and confidence in Christ raised, even from death, means that we are raised with him, and life is not gained by doing what's expected. Rather, by knowing Jesus expects more from us, and Jesus preached going the second mile and said, love your enemies, and they're pretty high standards, unless instead of advice for you for how to act or how someone treat you in response. I mean, do you like it as advice for you? Do you like it as advice for other people how to treat you? You see what I'm saying? I mean, if we get so distracted by making faith into this big endurance test where all we have to do is work hard and prove that we're great, we miss the whole point. Searching around for the magic pill that'll make you act like a hero every day, that's not what Jesus is saying. It's not what Paul's writing about. Our actions every day are a response to what God is doing, not something that we have to claw our way up to the top of the ladder to do. It's not about extra credit so God will notice you. That's not what church is about. All these second mile actions are because we believe of what God is doing. God made a way in the wilderness. God entered into the most challenging situations. God was with Jesus on the cross, and Christ was raised. And going the second mile doesn't change any of that, whether you do or whether you don't. That happened. Going the second mile doesn't earn you anything. Access to some place, special power, heaven, God, whatever. Going the second mile is just living your life how you would expect to live it if you believed this. How you would expect if you knew God truly loved you. I'm here to tell you, you are loved by God. No matter what. And God is a God of resurrection. I heard a volunteer fireman say one time, it just seemed like the right thing to do. Anybody ever hear anybody say that? You know what I'm talking about? This fireman had helped save a man from a car wreck. So, 25 years before that, the fireman, yep, quite a bit younger, of course, in the dentist's office, needs some pretty extensive oral surgery, and he's terrified of the anesthetic, and a mask is being put on his face, and he says, no! And the nurse did what she shouldn't have done, was not expected of her, leaned over and said, don't worry, don't be afraid, I will not leave you. And she didn't. He woke up from surgery, and there she was. 25 years later, called to the scene of the accident. They're using the jaws of life to pry open a wrecked taxi cab. The fireman looks down and responds to this terrified taxi driver, don't be afraid, I won't leave you. And he didn't. In spite of gasoline, fuel dripping, and all kinds of other risks, the fuel, the gasoline was dripping right near the hot engine. The jaws of life were sparking. And the next day, the taxi driver saw the fireman in the hospital and said, you're crazy, you know, we could have both been killed. Fireman said, well, it just seemed like the right thing to do. I was doing what I'd expect anyone to do. Has anybody ever heard somebody who others say is a hero say of their actions, it's just what I would expect anyone to do? God's amazing, amazing love for us, evidenced by the resurrection, Is God going the second mile for us? And just maybe that is fuel for us to go the second mile for someone else.